The unclean spirit says to Jesus, "I know who you are, the Holy One of God." A strange moment in the Gospel of Mark. One of my favorite spiritual exercises, and I've done this two or three different times, has been to take somebody who's wanting to grow in faith, and once a week meet with them and slowly work through the first eight chapters of the Gospel of Mark. The first eight chapters, it's not that long. Mark is the shortest of the Gospels. It's only 16 chapters. And over the course of a couple of months, we're sort of going through story by story by story. And then in chapter 8, Jesus asks the disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" And that's where we stop. That's the question at that point, at chapter 8. Who do you say that Jesus is, having just worked through all of these stories? And what really strikes me every time I've done this is how, when you slow down and look at them one after another, how strange these stories are. So in a moment, I'm going to point out three really weird things about today's story. But each one of them, each one of these stories that make up the first eight chapters of Mark, they're weird, especially when you slow down and start thinking about them. I often think of the Gospels, particularly the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, as something like slideshows. It's as though Matthew, Mark, and Luke each have an overall outline of the story that they're going to tell, and then they have a bunch of slides that they've been giving, and they arrange them in different ways. And Mark is the oldest of them, so he's the one who first sort of gives you these various pictures. And there's slight variations, but they're essentially the same stories in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. So, for example, in Mark, he uses the word "immediately" a whole lot more often than the others. There's little tweaks like that, but they're essentially the same stories. And this one in Mark, as I'm saying, is one of the really weird ones. So what I'm going to do for you this morning is point out three of the weird things about this story, and I'm not going to solve them for you. But I do want you to think about the paradox or the strangeness of each of these moments. The first thing that's really important to notice in this story is that Jesus has already called the apostles, and he's in the synagogue, and he is teaching in front of the great teachers. And yet, the first being to correctly identify who Jesus is an unclean spirit, not an apostle, not a teacher. Why? Why is it that an unclean spirit, something in complete opposition to Jesus, is the one who identifies him correctly, and not somebody who you would think would be open to the reality of who he is? Isn't that strange? In a kind of primal human way, it makes sense. Like, you recognize your opponent as soon as the opponent walks in the door. But it's interesting that that holds true even of Jesus, of this bearer of light. So that's the first strange thing to note in this story. The second strange thing to note is that, did you hear what Jesus' response was? Shh. Why? Why is it that Jesus, right here, doesn't say like, "Hey, you got it, go tell people, because I'm here, time to move." He does just the opposite. And that actually sets up a pattern that we're going to see again and again, particularly in the Gospel of Mark. Scholars call it the messianic secret. And it is a paradox. It is a mystery. I can tell you, having studied this in seminaries, that there's no one pat answer for why is it that Jesus wants to keep it a secret while he's walking around. Is it strategic? Is it that he only wants people to get it firsthand and doesn't want people to get it secondhand? Is it because the reality of who he is in fact beyond any one set of words? I don't know. Mark doesn't give you a pat answer to it. But it's a very clear pattern. And it's clearly intentional on the part of Mark. He wants to convey this about Jesus, that even when people like this unclean spirit are heading really close to identifying who he is, Jesus says, "Shh." And is there a lesson there for us? Is there a lesson there for me? I don't know. This actually points to a deeper issue with Jesus that's revealed in this story too, which is this question of what is it exactly that Jesus' authority is? The story concludes with Jesus casting out the unclean spirit. But the story begins with an ordinary sense of authority. He's up there teaching. It's really strange. There's a story in the next chapter, chapter 2, that similarly is funny about Jesus' authority. It's one of my favorite stories. It's the one where the guys bring their buddy who is sick and lower him from the roof into the house where Jesus is teaching. And he's there with rabbis, and Jesus heals this guy who's sick. He's laying out flat, paralyzed. The guy gets up and walks. That's not the big deal. The big deal that offends the rabbis is when Jesus says, "Your sins are forgiven." That gets the rabbis all mad, and Mark makes it clear that that's the seed that's planted that's going to eventually lead to his crucifixion. That was so offensive to the rabbis that he would presume to tell somebody that their sins are forgiven. Why? Because there's only one being that can forgive sins, and that's God. So there's this question, this mystery, this tension, this paradox. What exactly is the nature of Jesus' authority? Is it as a great teacher? Yes. Is it as a caster out of demons? Yes. Is it as a forgiver of sins? Yes. Is it a healer? Yes. You see, the stories and the impressions of Jesus start to pile up, one after the other. And they don't resolve themselves into a very clean, simple picture. In fact, one of the things I like about the Gospel of Mark is that you may remember this, that the whole thing in the original Greek ends in a preposition. They ran away for, and that's it. And that was so uncomfortable that the church added things later. And one theory is that Mark deliberately ended it in a preposition so you'd be like left in the lurch and be like, wait a minute, what just happened? And then go back and read it again to start to try and wrap your mind and your heart around who this is. Now, I want to conclude by going to the place where I conclude the class that I've done with people, because there's a couple of really interesting points here, and it will be helpful to go to your pew Bible and go to page 820, which takes us to the very center, the Gospel of Mark. The important thing to realize about this chapter 8 is that right after this identity of like, who do people say that I am, two things happen right after that. One is that Jesus turns his face to go to Jerusalem. We know what happens there. But the other is the transfiguration, where it really is revealed who he is. But before we get there, there's actually two things that I want to point to. Page 820, we're on chapter 8, verse 22. Now, this is a really cool, odd story. They came to Bethsaida. Some people brought a blind man to him, begged him to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the village. And when he had put saliva on his eyes and laid his hands on him, he asked him, "Can you see anything?" And the man looked up and said, "I can see people, but they look like trees walking." Do you get a visual for that? It's a little bit like the impression you get when you're trying to see something and your eyes are squinting like this, you know? It's like you can partly see. Then Jesus laid his hands on his eyes again, and he looked intently, and his sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. And he sent him away to his home, saying, "Do not even go into the village." All right, now I'm reading that for two reasons. One is that this is actually one of those little slides. Remember my little slideshow analogy earlier in the sermon? By the way, the names of those slides, the technical term is pericope. It's like periscope without the S, pericope. This pericope is only in Mark. It's not in the others. But the other thing is it's very strategically placed. It's the story of somebody who's blind and is beginning to see but doesn't quite and then fully sees. I think that's supposed to be me, and that's supposed to be you as you're reading this gospel. That you're coming to a point where maybe, if you've read this far, you're like the guy in stage 1, right? I mean, like, you're just beginning to get a sense of who who this Jesus is, like somebody trying to look at somebody but sees trees walking. And what Jesus wants to then do is to do that next stage of healing to our eyes so that we can see clearly. It's Jesus' initiative here. So we go from that story, from that pericope, to the place where I'm going to end the sermon and where I want us to sit in silence for a moment. Starting again at verse 27, Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi. And on the way, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they answered him, "John the Baptist, and others Elijah, and still others one of the prophets." Jesus asked them, and I want to suggest that he is asking you right now. He's asking me right now. "But who do you say that I am?"